Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
See, I grew up in another age. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Now, talk radio has become so boring that I had to play the Texaco song to remind you that radio is primarily an entertainment medium. Many people in radio think that they're like failed junior college professors who are supposed to hock you in the head until your brains go dead about the Constitution or about the Bill of Rights. All important, but people don't want to hear it anymore, number one. Number two, politics, I do it. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, how much can you take of it? So I have always tried to integrate humor, politics, nutrition, science, personal lifestyle. In other words, an all-around show, which is the only direction I can do a show in. So let me tell you what happened today before I get to the politics, because I'll get there. I mean, I'll tell you about slamming the door shut on the refugees that Obama wants to flood America with. I will tell you about that. I will tell you my plan. Straight out, shut the borders, shut the government down, seal the borders, shut the government down, close it down. Shut it down. Forget about shutting the government down. Shut everything down. Lock it down. I'm not going to tell you that if Obama, the madman, the psycho, gets away with bringing in 200,000 refugees from the Middle East, this country is gone. The man is a madman, a maniac. Nobody wants them here. He only wants them here for the votes and to change the demographics because he hates the, well, how shall I put it? How shall I put who he hates so much that he wants to fundamentally change the demographics of America to the point where they will never return? But that's not what I wanted to talk about, even though I just did. No, here's what I want to talk about. Something simple. You know, they say that all politics are very local and all politics are very personal. I would say that all politics are very physical. Because at the end of the day, we're still human beings. We have issues, toothaches, headaches, right? A nosebleed, a backache, whatever. Erectile dysfunction, whatever people have to work with, hypoglycemia. It all happens to us, and we deal with it, and that becomes bigger than Syria. In other words, if you have an ingrown toenail, it's more important to you than Syria is. So let me tell you what happens. I'm looking at the scale, and I see my weight shot up over the last month to 190. Now, I've been like 178, which is already too high for a long time, but I could live with it. Then I see a fat Clemenza in the scale. I'm looking in the mirror. I don't look like I put on 12 pounds, but I'm feeling like, what's going on here? What, is there a metabolic problem? And no matter what I do, I've been starving myself, changed my diet. I went for blood tests, still 190 no matter what I do. So suddenly this morning I looked out at the scale a little more closely and I see the maid hit the knob on the bottom and said with the broom, she pushed it up 12 pounds before I even started. So I picked it up and turned the dial back to zero and back to 178 pounds. And I realized the whole thing was because the maid accidentally pushed the knob on the bottom of the scale and gave me an instant 12 pound gain. So what's the point of the story? I don't know the point of the story. It's very personal. Now to top that off, because of this weight gain that didn't happen, the imaginary weight gain, look how this thing is building in my head. I called a doctor. I never see doctors. Everyone says, who's your regular doctor? I don't have one. How could you not have a doctor? I don't have a doctor. I have one doctor I call who's nice enough. He's a cardiologist. He gives me tests for anything I want once a year. Well, who's your regular primary care doctor? I said, I am. Okay, forget about it. So I said, look, I need blood tests. So I go to the hospital this morning for blood tests after fasting. I have hypoglycemia to begin with. I don't have to tell you, I hate fasting. It's why I'm not religious. If there was a religion without any fasting in it, I would consider joining that religion. But there's not a religion on the planet, I think, other than perhaps Wicca, where you don't have to fast. Every religion, even the Jews, once a year they fast. Even Reform Jews, I would say even Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg fast once a year for about 10 minutes. To remember who they really are. But the thing is, there are religions where you fast all the time. Every other day is a fast day. That religion and I couldn't get along. I can't be in that kind of religion. I cannot fast and be in a religion. I think the whole reason for fasting with religion, by the way, I thought about it, is to make people so dizzy with low blood sugar that they'll believe anything that the guy up in the podium says, including an imaginary dictate from heaven about how you're supposed to behave. The people are so dizzy They can't wait for the holiday to be over and go grab a snack. That whatever he says, they'll say yes and throw him some money and get out of there. So I go to the hospital for the blood test this morning, and I went into the wrong door. They signed me up like I'd had a major injury or an accident. All I went in for was some blood work, that blood withdrawn. And unfortunately, my assistant did not look up where the lab was. He took me into the hospital. I had to go through elevators. The next thing I knew, they're putting a wristband on me. I see stretchers going by. I said, what is going on here? I just want the laboratory. Well, it's down this hall, up this hall, go to the second floor. It took me 20 minutes to take. What's your primary insurance? I said, ma'am, am I in the right place? I'm just coming to get some blood work done on cholesterol and blood sugar. And she said, yeah, you're in the right. It's our laboratory. And it went on for 20 minutes. Meanwhile, patients are going by with blood in their head. People are rushing and screaming in the corridor. I said, this can't be the right place. I just came in for some blood work. Where am I? Now, on top of it all, the temperature in there is about 18 degrees. You need a fur coat in the summertime to get your blood drawn out. You can get pneumonia just standing in the laboratory waiting for your blood work. I want you to understand what I'm trying to tell you here. Life is actually quite funny if you look at it for what it is. This is definitely the equivalent of a Seinfeld or a Larry David scene. This is the kind of stuff that Larry David would have turned into an entire show in his heyday. Even though I hate his politics, he is a funny man. A total left-wing goofball, but funny, very funny. That's the day. That's what happened. Finally had the blood drawn. I have a headache. My blood sugar is still low. The dog doesn't even want to eat. He's so depressed from my low blood sugar. And that's the opening to my show. And now let's start with some old rock and roll, and I'll get into the politics of the day right here on the Savage Nation. Robert, give me some rock and roll, please. Let's start the show, because I can see the average person turn the show off already. They're waiting for me to talk about Obama and Trump and Adolf Hitler and how come there isn't gun control on Mars, even though they looked at Mars and there's water. Why are there no guns on it? Why are there guns? They found a gun. And the reason that Mars has no population is because it proved beyond a reasonable doubt that global warming and guns caused the population decline. And as a result of that, we all have to kick in more money to the UN so they can buy more prostitutes and basketball courts for the houses in Dobbs Ferry, etc. Implies a woman's a nympho. And as you well know, since women have become like men, I mean, the modality in America today is all women are like dogs, just like the men. Hey, I could do anything a man wants to do. I could go sleep around and go out till 4:30 in the morning and wind up in a doorway with my panties in my pocketbook. Hey, I'm free. I'm free. I could do anything I want. This is America, isn't it? Yeah, that in doorway. Dermatologist from Manhasset. Three children, lovely husband, winds up in a doorway with the head against the door. Unbelievable. Contusions on the neck. And the drug dealer she was with doesn't know how it happened. He pulled it down in the doorway. The NYPD has reached such a point that they don't even arrest the guy who left her in a doorway on a videotape. What in the world is going on? They have a videotape of a guy pulling the dermatologist downstairs after she's coked up, according to the story, leaving her in a doorway. They interview him and they let him go. What is that about? What kind of police work is this? And you want me to worry about the refugees Obama wants to bring into the country? Oh, my God, 200,000 of them. The borders, I say, shut down this government, my friends, until the borders are secure. Just shut them down. You know, the Republicans are such cowards. I mean, what do you expect? You take a look. We know Boehner's. I'm not going to say Boehner and McConnell like it's the first time you heard it. You know who they are. You know exactly who they are. They're sold-out, compromised losers. They're bought and sold. They got what they wanted. McConnell negotiated the whole deal last year just for some coal job in Kentucky. He got the coal and suddenly capitulated all the way over to the left side, right? Boehner was never anywhere but where he was supposed to be, which was inside Obama's rear pocket. So when Obama sat down, it sounded like a whoopee cushion coming out of Boehner's mouth. In other words, they put a Boehner doll inside Obama's rear pocket. So every time Obama sat down to give a speech, you heard Boehner squeak, as I say, like a whoopee cushion. So that's the speaker of the other party. Unbelievable to me. But there are people in the Republican Party who could shut this government down. And I say shut her down. Just shut it down. Shut it down. Not a dollar. We control the purse strings. You're not getting a dime. All your departments are shut down. I don't care if the post office doesn't deliver a letter. I don't care if nothing works. We're shutting it down until you shut that border. It's that simple. I am not going to let this psychopath in the White House flood 200,000 Muslims from Syria into this country. End of story. Why is that a bad policy? Tell me what's wrong with my idea of shut it down. I want to know. Don't call on this, because I don't want to talk about it anymore. I got it out of my system. I'm going to have some orange juice. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I got a headache to begin with. It's cutting right through my left brain. Welcome to the show. I don't know what it is. I have hypoglycemia. I got to watch my blood sugar very carefully. Nobody has the energy I have in radio. You know that. 3 hours. 3 hours a day. Radio. 21 years. I do it. I do it well. But right now, the top of the head feels like a piece of it should be removed, and Ben Carson should go in and leave a piece of cotton in there. That's, they're trying to smear him now. They left cotton in a child's brain. That's how low they'll go. Nothing about Benghazi. Nothing about the corruption of the Clintons. Nothing about Obama being mentally imbalanced and should be in a nut house. Now that Ben Carson left cotton in a kid's head. This is the press that we have in America. You know something? They wouldn't have gotten away with this in Russia during the Soviet Union era. Izvestia wouldn't have gone to this level of Woodpecker. What's his name? I forget his name. I call him Woodpecker. Why do I call him Woodpecker? What's his real name? The one I call Woodpecker. No one even knows what I'm talking about. It's my own staff can't even answer me. I'm asking, I'm groping. Who? Jake Tapper, I call Jake Woodpecker. Why? Because he has the brains of a woodpecker that was shot with a BB gun. But he knows how to tie a Windsor knot. Hillary Rotten Clinton says the jail was the right thing for the Kentucky clerk. She's really groping, man, for the lowest level of the American voter. She's going for the abortionists. That's her base, is the abortionists. I mean, this she has to talk about when the Pope himself said it was the wrong thing. Hillary Rotten Clinton today said the jail was the right thing for a Kentucky clerk who refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Who is she appeasing here? Who is she appealing to? Speaking in Iowa? What group was she speaking in front of? The abortion industry of America? Let's see, that would be AIA. Yeah, the AIA, the abortion industry of America. Euthanasiasts of America. This is sickening what she is. This woman is far worse than anybody could imagine. Clinton spoke at Cornell College in Mount Vernon, Iowa. Where is Cornell College in Mount Vernon, Iowa? Who was in the audience? The radical feminist who took it over and introduced Wiccan into the university, tore down the crosses and converted the chapel of the university into a Wiccan haven, Claven? That's who she's speaking to. Clinton said people are entitled to their private beliefs, but that when you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, that is your job. Oh, really? How about the hidden emails, the 30,000 hidden emails? That isn't in the title of your job? That wasn't your job title? Or how about killing Gaddafi when he begged for his life and said, don't kill me because if I die, you're going to have chaos here? Wasn't that part of your constitutional responsibilities, was to not have him ordered killed? All right, what can I tell you? KFAYR, Kansas, we have time for one call. Fire away, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Wonderful show. I love your sarcasm. I love your style. The whole show reminds me of a trip down Highway 1 on the coast going, I don't ever know what's coming on the next bend. It keeps.
Well, that's kind of a compliment and a curse in a way. It's like, yeah, that guy's so good, we don't know what's coming around the next bend because he's gone around the bend. We don't know what he's going to say. He doesn't know what he's going to say.
I love spontaneity. I've listened to all. I've spent a lot of time on the road. The others bore me to death. And you
well,
always.
I'm not gonna put them down. I think it. Everyone stands on their own two tongues. And the fact of them, I mean, really, everybody stands on their own two tongues in radio. And the thing is I don't. I have one tongue, and I speak from that one tongue. The fact of the matter is, I cannot do politics 3 hours in a row. Who could listen to that? Can you listen to politics for three straight hours?
No, that's why I switched.
Well, I know what you mean. I'd rather switch than fight. I get it. But we have trouble in the country. We all know that. But how many times can I say the same thing about the psycho in the White House? The man is an out-of-control psychopath. He knows that most Americans do not want the country flooded with immigrants to begin with. So now he triples down. Not only is he saying we're having more from Central America and Mexico, but now to top it off, he's bringing in 200,000 Muslim men from Syria. What sane country permits this without stopping the man in his tracks? They call him out. They throw him out. They make the Democrat Party stop it before it's too late. Why am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I believe the majority of us agree with it. That's why so many.
Well, that's correct. That's why I'm not going to do politics all day today. I know I'm right. Nobody can disagree with me. Can anyone listening to this show tell me how 200,000 Syrian refugees, almost all of them Muslims, 80% of them young males, how are they going to enrich this society? Can anyone raise their hand and tell me how? Can you tell me how they're going to enrich the society? And can you also tell me why the psycho in the White House is not bringing in Syrian Christians, including some who are here already begging to be able to stay, allowed to stay here? Tell me why he's kicking the Christians out and bringing the Muslims in. Tell me why he wants more mosques and less churches. Tell me why. You can figure that out? You can't figure out what he's doing to your country? How do you let it happen? Okay, stay in the line. I'm sending you my book, Government Zero. I've done for 21 years more than most men in the world could do, except men who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan and people in on the front lines in the police departments across America. This is like daily combat, I got to tell you. No, it's not bullets flying on a rooftop in Fallujah. I get that. You know, I watched American Sniper last night. I must tell you, for the first time, I only watched the second half. I was so moved by this, the battle scenes. The bravery of our men, I knew it was high. I didn't know how. This was so well done. Who was the director of that movie? Was that Spielberg? Was it like a top director did it? I really said, wow, he's good. The writing, the acting, the directing. But the bravery of our men. You know, you could underestimate the enemy. You can call him any name you want. Raghead. You could run him down. They're pretty brave. They're crazy. They're willing to die for their cause. And they charge like crazy up the steps to try to kill our snipers on the rooftops and our men trapped up there running out of ammo. Unbelievable to watch that movie and see the bravery of our guys. And all that came to my mind was that we have police just like that in this country, in every city, in every town in this country. And you know who's gone after them? The psycho in the White House. The same psychopath who's gone after our military, who said to them, you know what? Don't shoot in Iraq or Afghanistan until one of your men is dead. Then you might be able to shoot back, or else we'll court-martial you. They've done the same thing to our police. Al Sharpton, with a fancier dress, is Barack Obama.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Story. Report finds female Marines cannot meet some standards for special forces. Now, if you had a commander-in-chief who really cared about the military, he would look at this report and say, all right, some of the women are really brave, they're strong, but they can't cut it in special forces. We're not going to destroy those units because we cannot impose this upon them without lowering the standards and raising the risk of men dying. But not your president. Your psycho in the White House will push this psycho agenda that you will find on a college campus right down to the last drop of his regime. And then some, by the way. A new study says that even the top female troops cannot cut it in the special forces. Let me ask you a little side note. Putin just sent his Spetsnaz into Syria to kill, not to negotiate, not to bring him back to justice to New York City, or Moscow in that case, but to find the enemy and kill them. I noticed something when I'm studying the Russian special forces. There are no women in the special forces in Russia. Somehow Putin hasn't been forced to kowtow to the feminists in Russia. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd what's going on in your country? That's a new study, though. Even striking what appears to be a balance for setting standards, meaning changing standards, will introduce some level of risk across all of these factors, the report by Brigadier General George Smith. Now, having said that, we all know that there are women who are 10 times tougher than many men. We know that. But that's not the point. We're talking about elite combat units like special forces. And we are talking about environments that none of us can even imagine that men have to fight in. We are talking about stresses on the human body that are something the ordinary human being could never take. And to bring females into this, you will find that all the studies show that they put everybody at risk. And the study says winning in war is often only a matter of inches. And unnecessary distraction or any dilution of the combat effectiveness puts the mission and lives in jeopardy, that report stated. Risking the lives of a military unit in combat to provide career opportunities or accommodate the personal desires or interests of an individual is more than bad military judgment. It is morally wrong. You hear this? Now, however, U.S. Navy Secretary the Stooge, Ray Mabus, another schmuck put in by Obama, says to NPR, of all places, that studies showing women cannot keep up with men in certain areas could be flawed. This is who Obama handpicked these sellout punks, these metrosexual losers. This is who he puts in charge of every military branch. And you're wondering why we cannot defeat ISIS after a year of fighting them with our most powerful air force in the world? Obama was not fighting them. He was playing with you. By the way, Israel, which has long integrated women into its military, has reached the same conclusions regarding the most elite units, according to Lieutenant Colonel Yuval Heled. He said, quote, and listen carefully, idiots, women in Israel and the U.S. do very good field operations, but I would say that in the front line with the potential of engaging in close combat, I would still recommend leaving things as they are. No kidding. No kidding. In hand-to-hand combat with ISIS, you mean men do better? Well, how is that possible? Hand-to-hand combat with ISIS, you mean a big, brawny American special forces guy is more suitable than a woman who was put there for affirmative action reasons? I'm shocked. I never would have figured that out. See, they think everything's a college campus, where if things go wrong in the battlefield, the women can blow a whistle and call the ACLU. Well, the real world doesn't work that way, which is why America is dying, incidentally. Well, you know my position on this. By the way, yesterday I had Donald Trump on the show. I thought it was very personable. People say a warm interview. It was very different than most other people in the media for one reason. Everybody plays gotcha. Everyone thinks they're a wise guy. Everyone says, hey, yeah, so let me ask you something. Well, if you come in, what are you, that toupee, you think that'll get in the way of your military policy? That's a Woodpecker question. That's something Jake Woodpecker would do. Stupid, idiotic things. No one wants to hear it. That's not an interview. That's not an, or that saccharine moron on NPR. What's his name? That coffee guy. I can't remember his name. That someone, everyone wants to go on his show. Joe, I don't know his name. Very famous. Everyone wants to be interviewed by him. With that long face. He looks like Mick Jagger, who's Mick Jagger after a night in the town. I don't know who it is. I forget his name. Someone on NPR that everybody wants to be on. He has an audience of 1,200 people. But everybody clamors to be on his show. They all clamor to get someone on the show and then run him down, set him up, make him fall. I don't see it that way. To me, a guest on my show is a guest in my house. And I learned very well how to treat guests in my house a long time ago, primarily from my Fijian hosts when I was a young ethnobotanist. They taught me what hospitality was. Guest on my show, I extend hospitality. It's not here to set up, I'm not setting it up for them to fall. So I said right up front with Donald, I said, here's three topics I want to talk about. I didn't tell him in advance. I told myself in advance and I wrote it down for me. One was the trade deal. Obama selling us out to the so-called Pacific Rim nations. Trump is 100% knowledgeable about it. He's a businessman. Obama is a demagogue. Number two, ISIS. How would you fight him? Do you oppose or do you support Russia taking them on? Number three, have you met Putin? You get along with him. He got it. He answered me. He didn't look for a sheet. He didn't stumble around. He answered. It's all on my website, michaelsavage.com. The long interview today. We'll have a short version of it. Let's take a call or two. Let's go to KSFO. Dustin, line three, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, yesterday when Trump said deals are people, it was an epiphany for me. I think he's a candidate that bears serious consideration because he has lived that credo, deals are people, successfully. Complex deal competency are what we need now from the executive office, from the White House, and it's needed for trade deals, labor relations, military, foreign policy, and diplomacy. We don't get that from the Bushes or the Clintons or the Obamas, obviously. I was really impressed with how you got Trump to come out and basically give that important kernel of what he stands for. So it was a great interview.
Well, you mean especially when he said deals are about people?
He said deals are people, and I stopped in my tracks and I thought, wow, that is the best thing I've ever heard from a politician.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He knows how to make a deal. The other guys are clowns. They never did business. Not one of the other, what, Hillary Clinton knows how to do deals? She's a demagogue who screams at people, undermines them. Undermines them. What kind of, who wants that for a president? We can't figure out what we're going to get with that Harridan if we elect her. Can you imagine?
And for most politicians, deals are ideology. So that's what you have with everybody from the Republican and the Democrat side, except for Trump, who has done this.
You're right. All right, I'm glad you heard it so carefully. Not everybody listens to radio or to interviews as carefully as you did. I'm sending you a fresh, clean, hardcover copy of the first printing, first edition of Government Zero. I finally got a copy. They're finally being sent out, but they're not going to be in the bookstores till October 27th. We'll hold our fire until then, when I want you to go out as my Savage Army and buy a couple of copies, one for you and one for a doubting Thomas, who does not know what danger we are in. And I mean that. This is it. This is the last showdown. We have no other option but to educate people before the next election. It's that simple. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. We can talk about other topics. We can talk about, I would rather not do the election if we could avoid it. It's the one topic I am so leery of. It's a year until the 20. Who wants to talk about it for a year straight? Boy, I'm thinking about that, and I got to tell you something. I can see things around the corner and what's coming. I've always been able to do that to a certain extent. I think anyone who is successful can think ahead. Let's put it that way. No matter what field you're in, you could be running a tire shop, and if you can think ahead, you'll stay, ahead of your competitor in the tire business. So the same in talk radio, and I'm looking ahead. I am telling you that after the 2016 election, November 2016, talk radio is over. It's not surviving. If they're going to continue the same humdrum homilies every day after the election, the audience will disappear altogether. So I have told you before, and I will tell you again, this is my opinion. People will disagree with me. They'll attack me after I say this. They'll come after me and saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, well, I know what I'm talking about. On streaming radio, I have a 26th history. I know trends and I know what's coming. After the election 2016, either they're going to flip talk radio into sports or news or music, or the talkers who can will adapt or they're going to die. You know, it's the old story about adapt or die, which we learned in high school, which is why, when I learned about animals and evolution, I was taught by a very smart high school teacher that the animals who could adapt survived, and the animals who couldn't adapt died. In other words, when the weather changed, whether it was an ice age or a hot age, the animals who could adapt survived. The animals who couldn't adapt died. It's as simple as that. And it's true in any business. I don't care if you own a beauty salon or you're in talk radio. 2016 is the high water mark of talk radio. After that election, either you adapt or you die. You're extinct. That's how I see it. It's my view of things. Now, whether I'm right or wrong, only time will tell. But I'm projecting it to you right now for one reason, is because more or less I've tried to do that over the years anyway. When have I ever done a three-hour political show, intensely only a three-hour show? Recently I've done them. That is true. Things are hotter now than ever. But by and large, I've always thrived on a diversity of topics, or shall I say, a variety of topics. And I think variety is king when it comes to this medium. And that means I'd like to do a nutrition show on a day. I'd like to do a health show on a day. I'd like to do a legal show on a day. I'd like to do a show on pets. I'd like to move it around a little bit more, and I will do it in time. And I mean right in this time. I don't mean today. But I'm not going to get stuck anymore with the one thing over and over and over again, the same homily. Oh, Hillary said this, and Trump said that, and Chaim Yankel did this, and Joe Schmendrick did that, and this one, I drank a water, and that one spilled the water on his foot and left cotton in his head, and did you hear what he said about that one, and this one said that about this, and Hillary's emails are in the toilet, and the FBI is looking into it, and you have about as much a chance of them finding anything on the emails as they found on Solyndra. The FBI is owned by Hillary, so don't look for anything. The FBI today is a wholly owned incorporated division of the Democrat Party USA, so don't expect all of a sudden you're going to have a revelation tomorrow. Every day they're giving you a little dangle. They have them and they're looking and they found this and they're almost on to that. They issued another subpoena. The only reason the FBI is issuing another subpoena is to make sure they get them all before they bury them all and say they found nothing on them. And I'll make another prediction about it, which I made 3 months ago. Here's the little trick. The FBI is going to find on the emails that she was actually a hero, that she was not a villain. She did things that you could never believe. We found that she erased them because she cared so much about America. And look what we found. And it really wasn't about her yoga pants. No, what it was about was she was doing things in the noble effort to save America, the strife of another incident like Benghazi. Had we only known those evil Republicans for going after her on this. Wait to see. It's a propaganda show. Asking the FBI to find something novel against a Democrat would be like asking the KGB in the 1950s to say something negative about Stalin. That's about the chance you have here in this country. That's my opinion. Okay, what are we going to talk? Guns? No, no guns. No, I'm not doing guns. We know the whole story on guns. Guns are us. That's all. We Americans are gun people. That's something you understand that you don't. How do I, a New York boy, why am I a gun nut? You think I'm faking it? No, I told you 100 times. I was on the rifle team in my high school in New York when I was a kid. It's hard to believe. We had rifle teams, lady. Yes, I know you can't believe it. When I was a kid in New York, we had rifle teams in the basement of our high schools. So there were five schools that had rifle teams with shooting ranges. And our teachers were World War II and Korea vets. We'd go in the basement. We'd be issued a gun. In my case, I loved it. It was a blue Mossberg 22. I loved the smell of gunpowder. It woke me up. I mean, between geometry and this, and I was going crazy in the classroom. You smell a gunpowder, it wakes you up. The Chinese were onto something. That's why they invented firecrackers. The fact of the matter is, not one incident in history in New York City of a kid taking the gun and shooting himself or shooting someone else. Not one. Why is that? Tell me why. I was on a rifle team. I never heard of it. I never read of it. Nobody picked up a gun and shot anyone. Nobody ran through the halls. Never. I'll give you three reasons why. You want the three reasons? There were no medication for kids then. None. Well, if you were jumpy and smart, they didn't call you ADD. They said he's jumpy and smart. That's all. They didn't call him crazy. They said he's high strung. So either you were smart from being high strung or stupid. If you were smart, they put you in a special class for smart kids. If you were high-strung and stupid, they put you in a dumb class. And you learned how to work a lathe. I'm not knocking it, but I'm saying you went into like another division. I'm not knocking that. It's hard to run a lathe, but it was a they didn't put you on a medication, turn you into a psycho. Where eventually you go nuts on it. Number one, drugs. There were no drugs for kids in those days because they didn't invent categories of illness that don't even exist. They invented that. They invented the category of illness so they can match a drug to it so they can milk the public dry. That's all. Number one, drugs. Every schoolroom had God Bless America, had a prayer to God. We knew there was a God. Everybody knew the Ten Commandments because they were in the schools, even public schools. It said, thou shalt not kill. Okay, so not everyone lived up to all the ten, but we knew what they were. We knew what the red lights were. We felt bad if we lied, if we cheated, if we stole. Now, no, you don't feel bad if you do that. You go to work for the Democrat Party USA. So that's number two. Number three, the homes were more integrated. There was a church. There was a family. There was a mother. There was a father. You see what I'm saying? So look where we've come today. The kids go berserk with guns. Don't blame the guns. Start with the real blame. Blame with the society itself and the medical society in particular and the drug peddlers specifically. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Here's a topper. Look how I'm going to end the hour. Listen to this headline. Nurse giving workplace flu shots, reuse syringes. I told you I had to go this morning to have blood work. My worst fear, I mean, I watched them like a hawk. I don't care who they are. This is a Russian woman, which unto itself doesn't mean anything. They're all in like the phlebotomy here. I don't know what that. So I go in, they tie you up in the arm, and I always look like a hawk with the right eye. I look to see where she's pulling the needle from. And I always joke, it's a used one, right, from Ellis Street. I joke around like, they don't even get the joke because they're from Moscow. But I make sure it's like, you know, out of a new package. Look at this one. Nurse giving workplace flu shots, reused syringes. That's very encouraging. West Windsor, New Jersey. A nurse administering flu shots to dozens of employees of a pharmaceutical company. Reused syringes, the State Department of Health said Wednesday. Now, a State Department of Health in New Jersey is not an oxymoron. It's a laugh line for Seinfeld. State Department of Health in New Jersey? You must be joking. Then they go further. There's a low risk of infection. How can there be a low risk of infection if they use the same needle over and over again on people? What do you mean low risk? How do they know that? What if one of the other patients whose needle they reused had hep B or C or HIV? What do you mean low risk of infection? To me, it's a high risk of infection. But we have such a corrupt CDC, they're nowhere to be found. Which is why I want to run it when Trump becomes president.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm live. I need some music. It's the Savage Nation, hour number two. 80 years old, still running around with a guitar. I don't know where he gets the Constitution from, but the thing is, only the soccer thug could save England, and they've been neutralized by the ninnies. That's all. No, you look at the early days of the soccer thugs in England. They were the ones who could have stopped this invasion from the other world into England. The soccer thug could have stopped it, but they had initially been destroyed by the progressive movement in England. And they wrapped them around their little finger. They scared them to death. They took their lives away from them. They're the men who could have stopped the invasion. Now it's too late. It's the same in America. The tough men have been branded evil in this country by the progressives. The really tough men are either, let's let it go. The tough men in this country have been destroyed by the progressive psychopaths who are suicidal, who not only want to die themselves, but want to kill the nation along with them. Let's put it to you that way. Make it real simple. You take a look at Jerry Brown, Mr. Progressive. Mr. Progressive talks about a euthanasia law like it's golden. We've now given people the right to die. You hear this? Why is that a blessing? Why is it debasing human life? Why is that a blessing? Where is it written that that is an advancement for civilization to grant people the right to commit suicide with some quack doctor who will give them the medicine to kill themselves with? And by the way, what's interesting to me is they seem to have a medication to kill people with who want to die because they're depressed or whatever, but they can't find the same medication to kill people on death row. In Jerry Brown's California, they put a guy on death row for 35 years. They come up with every cockamamie reason. Every cockamamie reason they come up with in Stanford law. The medication doesn't work. It's this. It's a cruel and unusual punishment. How'd they find the concoction, a cocktail that can kill people in 2 seconds if they want to die? They can't use that concoction at San Quentin and take these people off the planet? Just thinking, you know, just saying. But this is hour number two of the Savage Nation. There's a lot of stories I haven't touched on that I don't know what I want to do. The politics again. Want me to go down the line? Oh, let me read you a few political stories, then I'll take your calls. Top right, michaelsavage.com. DHS confesses no databases exist to vet Syrian refugees. Really? No screening. How many of these single men from Syria are jihadis? Well, to Obama, perhaps the more the better. That way he has his own ISIS front here in America before it's too late. You heard of the Nusra front in Syria? This is the Obama front here in America that he's bringing in, according to some, but I don't want to get extreme about it. You know he's a patriot. I mean, you know he loves America, and you know he wants only the best for the people. Yeah, okay. Equal pay law threatens to accelerate California business exodus. Okay, another Jerry Brown crackpot idea. College bro arrested over mac and cheese rant. Now, that was a crazy video that has gone viral. I had to watch this thing. This kid was crazy. Goes in drunk into a cafeteria from the University of Connecticut. Goes into a cafeteria drunk, and he wants macaroni and cheese with bacon and jalapeno peppers. And the manager says, no, you're carrying an open container. You can't eat. Can't have it. So the kid goes berserk. The 19-year-old freshman, Luke Gaddy, from Bayville, New York. And he starts screaming at the poor schlub manager, puts him down, says, who are you? You're just the manager of nothing, and you can't eat here. And the poor guy, I mean the manager, he starts pushing the manager around. And it goes on and on for minutes. Finally, the drunk kid has to be headlocked by another employee. I think a cook comes out and puts a headlock on him. The cook looks like he has a little military experience or wrestling because he took this kid down right away. Took him down like a lame deer. But it doesn't end there. As the cop comes in finally, very professional, spins the brat over, and he leads him away. He spits in the face of the poor manager again. Unbelievable. What does that tell you about society? John, WABC, I assume you've seen that video, right?
I watched the video, Dr. Savage, and it shows the depravity of the students in our nation. Nobody would help this guy out. All these UConn students were standing around like it was nothing, like he was expressing himself, you know?
Oh, you're saying the other kids who were buying food should have stepped in and stopped this brat.
Somebody should have, but you know what? We look down upon the working man in this society. All these students said, you know what? Maybe he's just expressing himself. He does it a little differently. We have
to. Oh, you mean that was his lifestyle choice to spit in the face of the manager, wouldn't give him mac and cheese while he was drunk.
Right, exactly. And not one, but there was one kid who attempted, but as soon as nobody was backing him up, he was, oh, I'm out of here. Because they're so afraid of liability and
law. Yeah, don't blame the other students, blame the lawyers. The lawyers have destroyed society. Everyone is afraid to intervene for fear that they get sued by the kid. That's the reality. I don't blame the other kids. I blame the rotten lawyers. Shakespeare had it right. The manager by this poor guy, I mean, all he did was trying to stop a drunk from buying macaroni and cheese. But, you know, as I watched the video, though, of the kid demanding his cheese with those filthy, dirty sweat. Look how they dress on a college campus. Take a look at the outfit the kid's wearing to school. A filthy, dirty pair of sweatpants that I wouldn't give a homeless bum. The parents let him go to school. But look at the other kids, how they're dressed. That's a college boy today. What a degeneration of a society. The idea of a press and a pair of pants is anathema to them. That was something that looks tailored or oppressed. That's the mark of a geek. If you come to school with a shirt on that's clean. Look at this jerk. Flip-flops, drunk, sweatpants. Can you imagine what he's majoring in at the University of Connecticut? What do you mean, University of Connecticut? What do you major in there? I can't even imagine. It must have a course or two that you can major in, maybe. Media studies or something, or gender studies. They're probably big on gender studies, I would think, at the University of Connecticut. Maybe cafeteria management. They have a whole program in that. I'm just kidding. You can go anywhere in a college today. It's all up to you. Look at him, smiling. The kid caught him on a camera. I can't imagine what the parents are going to do when they get this story home. So the first thing I thought was, okay, the kid's going to sue the college for manhandling him after he was so drunk on the mac and cheese, after spitting in the manager's face. The father will get some lawyer from Manhattan, and they'll sue the University of Connecticut for manhandling their little brat. But then I sent it to someone who knows the lawyers is not a chance in hell, because any judge who looks at this will throw the case out because they hate spoiled brats. Well, that's unless it's a judge appointed by Obama. They're pushing the manager now. Look at the poor schlub. I felt bad for the bald manager. This kid was so out of control. Yes. Well, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You have to watch it. But 12 people watch this tape, and I'm talking about it. I know I should be talking about the Constitution, Article number 402, Section 301, Clause 907B. And under that section, if you pull it apart and you look in it, you'll find out exactly why, if we can only... Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm talking about a University of Connecticut student who got into a confrontation with a campus food court manager who wouldn't let him buy mac and cheese. I couldn't stop watching it. It was like 9 minutes long. 9 minutes and seven. The best part is at the end when the cook comes out and takes him down. I linked it up from the post on michaelsavage.com. College bro arrested over mac and cheese rant at food court. Wait, there was another little story that caught my attention. It's right in my backyard. I used to live in that horrible town. Tantric sex teacher at clothing optional retreat. You hear what they call it today? Clothing optional retreat, a nudist camp. Tantric sex teacher, a bunch of sex maniacs. Yeah, come on, tantric sex teacher. What do they know? Him and this skank wife of his. Tantrics. Look who teaches these courses. I mean, would you take sex education from these two? A tantric teacher who made DVDs on yoga for lovers. You hear this nonsense? And taught classes at a clothing optional retreat. Was found shot to death on a hiking trail in Fairfax, California. Still holding on to the leash of his wounded dog, authorities said. Look, it's a sad story. I know those trailers very well. I lived in that town for 13 years. Someone just killed him for his car. And I will hope they capture these people. And, you know, they'll try him to the full extent of the law in California, which means they'll get 13 days in jail. And then he'll go to work for the Department of Corrections under Jerry Brown. A biker found Carter's body. There's nothing more to this. But look at the... Look, I mean, with all due respect to his wife, who founded the Ecstatic Living Institute, let me tell you something. Anyone who teaches tantric sex, I'll give you right now, right away. I know from the 70s, that type. They go into this business. I would say that you can get a new PhD in microbiology if you cultured their saliva. Let's put it to you that way. If you wanted to earn a PhD in microbiology, go to a tantric sex teacher and culture their saliva. There'll be three new organisms you can name for your grandmother. And they call it, I love the local Bay Area paper says, revered therapist found shot on a trail. What revered therapist? A tantric teacher participated in training sessions across the U.S. That's 17 nymphomaniacs in 12 states and in Canada and Costa Rica, you hear? 25 people attended his seminars probably over 25 years, but he's a famed therapist in the Bay Area. But it's, I mean, this shouldn't have happened to him. Not saying that. Couple released DVDs on tantric massage. What a racket. Yoga for lovers. Anyone who has to watch a sex tape on how to be a lover, I suggest you don't waste your money. And meditation. Yeah, meditation. They all wear outfits just like that kid at the University of Connecticut. Dirty sweatpants. They also taught classes at Harbin Hot Springs, a clothing optional retreat in the Middletown Mountains that burned down in the wildfire, according to the newspaper. All right, I think I've said all I can say about it. I feel bad that the guy got shot. It shouldn't have happened. And I hope they catch the guys who killed him, the girl with the dirty hair and all. They caught him on videotape in town with his car. Yeah, okay, it's California. Will they ever find him? Who knows? Here's a third story trending on the news. It's covering up some shady S.H. blank T, Clinton server employee. Really? And Jake Woodpecker doesn't find that interesting story, huh? All he does is find Ben Carson left cotton in someone's head. How come Jake Woodpecker doesn't cover up that, follow up that story? It's covering up some shady S.H. blank T, says Clinton server employee. But Jake Woodpecker doesn't want to cover that story. No, that doesn't make it to the news. That doesn't. But Donald Trump's hairdo does, or Ben Carson left cotton in someone's brain. That's all. That's the news we have today. All right, what do you want to talk about on the show? There's a couple of good stories. Women, Trump, families, the suicide, Obama, the census, how Obama hates a certain demographic in America because it's the side of his genetics that he hates. He decided to get rid of it, like Adolf did, because... what would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? I don't know. None of these calls. Get into the calls. I'm going to wish I didn't. Let's go to sound for a minute before we take a break. We got this. Here's the smorgasbord of the calls today. Here's my sound smorgasbord for Wednesday, October 7th. Savage replay of Trump boiled down to 4 minutes. Savage replay, hidden wing of this government may be getting ready to pull Obama. Yeah, I don't know. That was a thought yesterday. No one even commented on it. It was an insight and remarks by the president after meeting with agriculture and business leaders on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Oh, my God, what a sellout that is. Obama says GOP would have had the U.S. in seven wars right now. Farrakhan says Trump and ISIS are signs God is sending plagues down on America. Well, I think Farrakhan was the first plague. I think Al Sharpton was the second plague. And I think Obama was the third plague. But that's just one man's opinion. Josh Ernst stole my line. Listen to this, that putz. He says, Putin is playing checkers, not chess. You hear this? What a moron. Hey, Josh, you know, create something original. I've been saying this for years now. Checkers, chess, triple chess. Steal that next, triple chess. Your boss is such a genius that Obama is doing nothing in Syria, hasn't stopped ISIS after a year of bombing, and in 1 week, Russia's already got them on the run, but he's playing checkers, right? Well, let me tell you something. If Putin's playing checkers, I'll take that over the chess that Obama's playing, because apparently he learned it on the back of a milk carton. Where are we in time? 19 minutes after the hour. I'm out of time. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. I don't know if those of you who listen to the show ever look at your horoscope. I look at it every day. I don't know, I go to Sally Brompton. I know it's stupid, but I'm addicted to it. It's like a fortune cookie. It's fun. I mean, I open fortune cookies. I don't eat it because it's made of lard and sugar. I don't eat that garbage. But who doesn't open an innocent fortune cookery for restaurant? And you joke around like you get into, oh, that's really yours because of the way, and then you give it to someone else. It's like a little thing. So I read my horoscope. It says, Aries, things are going well for you at the moment, but today's Mars-Neptune link may make it a bit harder to get along with someone on the work front. A bit harder? Me? A bit harder for me to get along with someone on the work front? Nah. Then it says, the fact is you can quite easily get along without the help, so don't worry about it. That's the right attitude. A bit harder to get along with someone on the work front? How about, okay, let it go with that. Then I always read, like, the horoscopes of friends and family. I don't send it to them because they don't really believe in this stuff. Then there's, like, religious people who get mad at you if you send them a horoscope. Like, that's, like, horrible to read that. Jesus will... whatever works, man. The Pope probably reads his horoscope in Rome, that kind of Pope. Probably has him delivered. Probably has an astrologer come to see him, for all I can tell. He's such a cool guy. He's such a liberal Pope. I wouldn't doubt that he has an astrologer visiting on the Vatican, along with the pizza. Here's another one I saw. Rosie O'Donnell's daughter blasts her. Did you see this yesterday? It's hilarious. Like, oh, I'm shocked. Rosie O'Donnell's daughter blasts her as a pot-smoking phony. This is so ironic, right? lesbian adopts daughters and she turns on him. Turns on her. She blows the whistle on who she really is. She said, I find her not genuine a lot of the time. When we go out, she was a completely different person in public than at home, and I had a hard time with that. It's like two different people, said O'Donnell's daughter. She called her a pot-smoking phony. She said she has this public persona. She will put this big smile on her face and try to be funny, whereas when we were at home, she would either be just in her room not engaging with us or watching documentaries, probably produced by that fat slob who made millions lying to the stupid potheads out there. She says, and Rosie would eat takeout with us, and if there were cookies in the house, she would eat all of them. She was always coming into our rooms and asking if we had candy. I mean, she smokes weed, not around us, but the whole house smells like it. Chelsea also revealed of her mom's personal life. She has some speakers set up, and she blasts Madonna. She's obsessed with her. She likes Eminem and Chris. How boring. Rosie O'Donnell has five children, is in a custody battle over a two-year-old daughter, Dakota, with ex Michelle Rounds. So this is a funny thing, right? Like, lesbian adopts children. She figures, like, the daughter would be on her side her whole life, right? Now the daughter blows the whistle on her. Hates the mother. So it just shows you that it doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. Raising children is difficult. Even if you're a super liberal, a daughter could turn on you. Well, it usually works that way. They're usually the opposite of the parent. If you're, like, a rock-ribbed, you know, conservative, they become a psycho-lib. Then you're a lib, they become a conservative. She'll probably vote for Trump, the daughter.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I have a friend, the one doctor I go to, he's a cardiologist. I have nothing wrong with my heart, thank God. But he's a nice guy, and he... So whenever I need anything, I go to him, then he sends me to the lab. They say, who's your primary doctor? I say, I have none. But the point is, he once said to me, he's a great guy, he said, he had a 90-year-old patient who said to him, he asked him, what's the secret to longevity? The old man said, never let an old person live in your body. I've always remembered that. And every time I get like an old guy in my head who wants to like become the old guy, me to go, I say, go away. I don't want to hear you. I'm not ready for you yet. Because people act out what they want to be. You know that. It's like, oh, I'm depressed. Well, you get more depressed. What do you mean? I'm depressed? You mean you own the depression? Yeah, I'm depressed. The whole society is encouraging you to be a loser and sick, a cripple, dependent on the government. Fight it. So my mother taught me, fight it. I remember when I started to complain when I was young, she'd say, what do you think? I don't have aches and pains? Just forget about it. Go to school. Today, oh, really? Maybe you have this. Maybe you have that. Let's keep you out. Let's get you a special tutor. Let's declare you very special so you can go on a rampage with a gun in a school, you know, indulging every little whim of yours. Like my lunch just arrived. I'm on here now an hour and a half. I'm starving to death. So it arrived, like, was pad thai with prawns. With hot sauce. I was trying to, like, gag on it in the break, and it screws up the show because I start to, like, gag on the food during the break, but I can't help it. I mean, it's a trap. I cannot go without eating for 3 hours after with the blood pull this morning. So I got low blood sugar, so I'm eating during the show, and I'm like... See, I learned... I have a psychiatrist friend. I haven't seen him in a while. Great guy. He said, the reason that you're successful is that you come from a generation and from an ethnic background which has taught you denial. You were taught from the earliest age to delay gratification. You were taught to put off your gratification for another day. You were taught to wait for your reward. And as a result, you could wait years for your rewards. And I waited 20 years for my reward, meaning the success I have in radio and writing. I was working hard, but it just didn't come to me no matter what I did. I called myself a wildcatter for all the years that I really needed the success and couldn't have what I wanted when the kids were young. Was very hard to bear. I would have loved to have had the success I have now when my kids were young. But when I talk to my kids about it, they say, Dad, guess what? We're stronger as a result of it because we had to work. Otherwise, you would have just handed it to us, and we'd be like all the other kids who had it handed to them, like drug addicts and losers. Take a look at San Francisco. Take a look at Pacific Heights. Ask yourself how many of the kids that come out of those mansions on the hills have amounted to anything. The answer is zero. Zero! The whole infrastructure of San Francisco, the whole so-called society, the upper crust, whores, degenerates, drug addicts, grifters, and thieves. That's all. And look at the kids. Why? Because the kids had everything handed to them. In 49, the miners came, in 51, the whores. I didn't write that. Mark Twain wrote that. He wrote it. I mean, he was the one who wrote it. He's an American. 49, I almost got killed a few times for saying that in San Francisco. when they try to pull the society number on me. And say, oh, I'm a native son of the Golden West. What does that mean? What, because I came here in 1974, you're better than me? I said, wait, but let me quote Mark Twain. In 49, the miners came, in 51, the whores. And from them came the native sons of the Golden West. He wrote that. I didn't. I'm not knocking the native sons, but he's trying to make a point. So what? So people have these things like, I was born here, my grandfather was born here, so what? Does that make you better? You know, grow up, stand on your own laurels, if you have any. So I'm putting it off now to eat during the next break. So a real trick is, like, I took two bites, started to gag on it, so I said play Neil Young to stretch out the break. Then I come back and, like, the food's caught in my gullet. I start to choke. I'm starving. The food's sitting there in the radio kitchen. I had to seal it up with the aluminum foil and the packaging to make sure it's got a modicum of heat coming out of it when I get back there. So I think it's time to play this moron, the Goebbels of our time, Josh Ernst, who is Obama's Goebbels. Listen to this moron, a clip 11.
President Putin's playing chess. He's playing checkers. And I say that because he's making a series of tactical decisions that are leading to a starkly negative strategic conclusion. Yeah.
Oh, you would know.
Which is that by making the tactical decision to ramp up their support for the Assad regime,
who is this
Russia
moron?
Is being sucked into a sectarian civil war, essentially a quagmire that poses a whole set of risks to Russia's interests, not just in the region, but back at home.
Can you believe this moron, this idiot who never fired a Daisy BB gun, is telling Putin he's wrong? Where do they get these schmucks from? Here's an example of a putt so over his head that he gets up there and gives a speech like this. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Oh, yeah, I think Putin is playing checkers. He's not playing chess like my genius Obama. Yeah, Obama's playing chess. Let me tell you, the checkers that Putin is playing is about 50 times smarter than the chess that Obama learned on the back of a milk carton. What do you mean he's playing checkers? Well, you mean you weren't in the sectarian civil war, Josh, your boss? And the sorority that pays you your salary, you moron, you aren't in the sectarian civil war funding all of these CIA front groups that were trying to bring down Assad, you idiot? Who are you fooling? Then you got Tony Blair giving a speech now, the biggest failure in history. He runs a think tank, again attacking Russia for doing something that the scaredy-cat Brits, all the sissies that run Britain now, did nothing against ISIS with that loudmouthed Cameron. With another one with a great booming voice. Well, I think that seriously we must. Oh, they always have these booming voice, these great voices, but empty. It's called, you know, The Hollow Man. Who wrote The Hollow Man? Anyway, raise your hand if you know who wrote The Hollow Man. Whoever knows who wrote The Hollow Man gets a free copy of what? Government Zero by Michael Savage. Who wrote The Hollow Man? It's pretty good, by the way. The Straw Man, The Hollow Man. Remember that one? Was it Yeats? I'm not sure. I'm guessing. No one knows who he is. Now they're reading a crack addict with gold chains hanging down his neck who worked for Black Lives Matter, who was invited to Yale. That's the new literary star in America today. He knows 60 words of English, but he's a literary star. They never heard of Yeats, dead white male. No, they heard of Black Lives Matter and Kill the Police, Wrap the Pigs in Bacon. That's the new song of America. The song of America, Wrap the Pigs in Bacon. All right, KKOB, Shane, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, sir. Real quick, yesterday you asked a question about Donald Trump and what did we notice. The thing that I noticed is, for the first time, he actually sounded presidential. And that excites me because maybe...
Well, why would you think that you were able to hear that on my show where you don't hear it on CNN... Or Fox News, why doesn't he sound presidential there, according to you?
Well, because usually they're baiting him, and he's very defensive.
In other words, they're only trying to get him with a gotcha question. Well, that's all Anil Cavuto could do. A guy like him would have been a chef in my day. He would have been a chef in a Denny's. The most a guy like Anil Cavuto ever could have been in my time was a pastry chef in Denny's.
You're absolutely right, and I said,
"No, what are you trying to set him up? We're going to set him up, a guy 50,000 times smarter than them." But you're saying it doesn't let Donald Trump explain himself.
You're absolutely right, sir. If he would actually be able to talk and not be on the defensive, and have more forums like yours where he can actually talk and present his plans for our country, that's going to help. And I hope he does win.
Well, I hope so, too. I'm 100% for him. I think he's the only chance we have to save America. And that's why I've gone way out on a limb on defending him and backing him. 100%. I don't mince words. I'm not couching it. I'm out front with what I believe. I back Trump, period, end of story. I hope he's in it for the long haul. I hope he can stand the vermin in the media. And I hope he gets to debate Hillary and he wipes the floor with that witch. Other than that, I have no opinion on the matter. Now, sir, stay on the line. I'm sending you a free, fresh copy of Government Zero. Booming up the charts on Amazon.com. I can't wait for the day it's out already. Pope was here. The book wasn't here. War in Syria. The book isn't in the store yet. It's too. I mean, it should come out already. They can't rush it up. Should have been out in the store already. But okay, it's on Amazon. You can buy it now and get the first edition, first printing. There, got a winner. Got a winner. Michael on line 8. Go ahead. Who wrote The Hollow Man?
T.S. Eliot.
I was wrong. It was not who I said. It's because I've been following the news too long. Do you know the whole poem?
Do I? No, I don't know the whole poem. I just remember.
So how do you know it was T.S. Eliot who wrote The Hollow Man?
Let's see. If I remember correctly, we had to do that in eighth grade when education was still relevant.
Yeah, well, today it's about something else, isn't it? Today they teach you wrap a pig in bacon. That's the new literature.
Let me tell you one thing. We
are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men, leaning together, headpiece filled with straw. Our dried voices, when we whisper together, are quiet and meaningless, as wind in dry grass or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Does that not sound like the entire political structure in our country? The hollow men, the stuffed men, leaning together, headpieces filled with straw. And he goes on. Shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. Is that ever appropriate for who the leadership is now of the United States and of Britain and all of the West?
Definitely prophetic.
Violent souls, but only as the hollow men, the stuffed men. You hear this? Eyes I dare not meet in dreams in death's dream kingdom. These do not appear. There the eyes are sunlight in a broken column. There is a tree swinging and voices are in the wind singing. More distant and more solemn than a fading star. Let me be no nearer in death's dream kingdom. Let me also wear such deliberate disguises. Rat's coat, crow's skin, cross staves. In a field behaving as the wind behaves. No nearer. Not that final meeting in the twilight kingdom. This is the dead land. This is cactus land. Here the stone images are raised. Here they receive the supplication of a dead man's hand under the twinkle of a fading star. It is like this in death's other kingdom. Waking alone at the hour when we are trembling with tenderness, lips that would kiss from prayers to broken stone. Read it for yourself. The hollow man describes especially the administration of Barack Obama, filled with the straw men like Josh Earnest. You win a copy of Ring the Bell, Government Zero. T.S. Eliot, the hollow man. They don't teach him anymore because he's a dead white male. No, he couldn't write. No, it takes someone who has an education. Well, let me stop right there because I don't want to get myself into trouble. Yeah, that's the colleges today. Yeah, the college boy walking around with the pants under his behind. That's it. They put into college. The underwear showing, the behind crack. That's all. Rape epidemic. Now, I wonder why that happened on the college campuses. How'd that all of a sudden occur? Where'd that come from? The Hollow Men is a poem by T.S. Eliot. Themes are, like many of Eliot's poems, overlapping and fragmentary, but it is recognized to be... That's nonsense. Whoever wrote that didn't even know what the poem was about. And here's the funny thing. If you look at a picture of T.S. Eliot, he looked like a banker. They didn't try to be cool. They didn't look like hipsters. He didn't have a big beard like a moron smoking an electronic marijuana cigarette. He had, like, wire-rimmed glasses, shirt and tie, neatly dressed... That's what a poet was. Today, a poet is the stupider they can be, the druggier they can be, the more idiotic they can look from Brooklyn, they're a poet. I love when they say, he's an artist and she's a poet. And they found her in a doorway upside down at 3:30 in the morning in Chelsea. That's the world I have to live in. I have to make sense out of all of this for you. What time is it already? 45 minutes, 46 minutes, 47 minutes after the hour? I don't have time for a call. I'll have time the minute I come back. Either be here or you know what, be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIM. It is the Savage Nation. It started me talking about the scale. then the blood lab, then shut down the government until our borders are sealed and stop Obama in his tracks. Period. I mean, the Republicans have the power of the purse strings. I say shut it down. I don't care what stops working. I don't care if the airplanes stop flying. How's that? Meaning if they shut down the FAA, shut it down. Shut this country down until Obama learns his lesson that he's not a monarch. He doesn't have the power he thinks he has. Shut him down. Cut off the funding, close the borders, and stop the influx of Muslim refugees from the Middle East, especially young Syrian men, because my opinion is quite different than you may think. You think these people are running because they're running from who? Assad? I think that many of them are ISIS who threw down their weapons and are running from the Russians. I think they knew the Russians were coming, and they started flooding out of the country like rats from a sinking ship because they could no longer kill innocent Christians who are disarmed. They could no longer rape eight-year-old girls and have fun with girls and women. They're fleeing, and they're going to bring them in my country without vetting them? And you're going to put up with this? Shut it down. Simple. Shut it down. Close down the government. And I say, definitively shut the government down. I don't care if the planes don't fly. I don't care if Amtrak runs. I don't care if the postal service doesn't deliver a letter. Shut it down. Squeeze this country until they finally respond to the people. And you say, well, who's going to do it for us? Well, the Republicans have the majority. And if they don't do it, keep a track of them. Keep a track on them. Write it down and throw them all out of office in 2016. Diselect them. Throw them out of office. Until we finally get a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, instead of government zero. No borders, no language, no culture. Now let's go to the caller, Jonathan on KBET. Jonathan, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, thank you so much for your voice, and thanks for reading T.S. Eliot over the air. That was my favorite poem taught to me by my favorite uncle, and that's my favorite poem of all time.
So you say that the last stanza of The Hollow Men is most chilling and representative of what we have today in the guise of leadership in America. Can you read that to us?
I will recite it from memory. This is how the world ends. This is how the world ends. This is how the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper.
That sounds like Obama. This is how America ends. This is how America ends. This is how America ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper.
It's chilling.
Well, you know, when he talked about the hollow men, the straw men, he was talking about Josh Ernst. He was talking about the leadership that is lacking in the West of hollow men who just talk and there's nothing there. The straw men that we all know about. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a book which I hope becomes a part of your library, Government Zero, by myself, Michael Savage, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. When I come back, there's another full hour right here on the Savage Nation. I'll admit it to you. The minute this hour ends, I'm rushing to the radio kitchen, and I'm going to polish off that Thai food, and I'll be back for you, replenished, blood sugar high, and ready to go for another big hour, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm talking about Barack Obama, Tony Blair, David Cameron, Hollande, most specifically the hollow fat slob in Germany, Merkel. Unbelievable. You talk about hollow people who are killing their own nations in death dream kingdom. These hollow people permitting Islamic enemies to overrun their countries in the name of humanity. It's hard to believe. Can you name one Muslim country where you could say their humanity exceeds that of the West? Can you name one, please? Why are we doing this? Why is Obama wanting to flood America with 200,000 Syrian refugees, 80% of whom are combat-age men, without any chance of vetting them, meaning finding out their background? Why? Can you not figure it out? There is a tree swinging, and voices are in the wind singing, more distant than more solemn than a fading star. Read the poem. You'll find out that the dead old white male, T.S. Eliot, might have had something that you missed while you were studying gender studies at Harvard. Mr. Kurtz, he dead. A penny for the old guy. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. If you just joined the program, I suspect you missed an awful lot, which will be on the final exam. We're having midterms, by the way, in exactly 1 week after Halloween, Savage Nation midterms. We will ask you about clauses in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that you don't even know about, that I invented. From a book I wrote about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and clauses that I invented to make you think I'm smarter than I really am. Randy on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. You need to rethink the shutting down of the government, asking the Republicans to shut down the government. It's very irresponsible because you're delegating responsibility to the Republicans. And there are things in life that you just can't delegate, like fatherhood. It is up to the people to shut down the government and to take back this country, not the Republicans. The Republicans, they're good fellas. They're like Paul Savino and Joe Pesci and Goodfellas.
You're saying you're basically low-grade criminals.
They're all part of
competence. We understand that. Take a look at what just happened in France. When Air France said they were going to fire people, the workers went crazy and almost killed the management. One guy got away with his suit ripped off. The French understand that they actually have the power. The French worker knows he has the power. But you tell me who has the power in America. Who in America in the middle class has the power? It's the thugs in Baltimore who have the power. It's the thugs who almost burned Baltimore to the ground that have been empowered by this administration. They're armed to the teeth. You never hear Obama say he wants to take the guns away from those thugs, does he? Does Obama and Holder, when he was in power, does Obama ever say he wants to take the guns out of the hands of the gangbangers in Ferguson? Or those who were killing police in an epidemic? No, he's targeting those of us who want to defend ourselves from them and from the invaders he's bringing in. So what would you do to shut this country down in order to tell them no more immigrants? Shut it down. What would you do to stop them?
I would organize economically and shut down our economic system. Did you read the 13 answers to your 13 questions that you had posed? I had sent you an email on 13 answers to your...
No, I didn't know you. I didn't read that one. Well, you remember that show. You're a pretty good listener. So give me... How would we conduct an economic boycott to shut the country down? Quickly, how would that work?
I can tell you in 25 words or less, we who are the economic engine can bring the gravy train to a halt.
How?
Well, do you ever see how powerful and how effective the Democrats are when they conduct boycotts and shut
yes.
businesses?
Yes, I've been a victim of the Democrats for 21 years. I've been a victim of the slime machine and the boycott machine for 21 years, and I've paid dearly for it. So I'm very aware of what they can do.
Better than that. Because we have more economic power than they do. We fight the war of attrition. And I'll give you some examples. These are at the bottom of the list. But stop flying. The day after Thanksgiving, don't go shopping. Don't buy a new car. These are just some of the things that can be done.
But here's the problem. They will never connect the dots. They'll never figure out that it's about bringing Muslim refugees in from Syria or flooding America with Central American or Mexicans. They'll never put two and two together. I think we need more direct action than that. We need to use the tactics of the left, which is direct action. And the only thing that is direct and actionable are a million people on the border or a million people shutting down a federal building. That's the only thing that will work. Nothing else will work. That's the only thing that will scare the hollow men into listening to the people. I disagree with you. Yours is a good idea, but it's too esoteric and it's too distant. It's not connected directly to this corrupt and incompetent government that wants to commit self-suicide and national suicide at the same time.
Well, you hold the power to bring this about. It's like,
me?
Do you think God brought you back?
Well, I don't know about the power. Here's what I do. I have a daily radio show, 3 hours a day, and I write books. That's it. That's all I do. I'm not one of these talk show hosts who goes on a podium and starts to scream and yell and thinks that I have an effect. I am not running for office. I have no political power whatsoever. All I can do is put out ideas and hope to God others act on them. And I have to say, well, we tried very hard in the last election to get some conservatives in there. And look what happened. They were compromised by Boehner and McConnell. They basically put out of business because they're part and parcel of the Obama machine. You know that.
The whole system has to go. And in fact, I'd like to read you something. It's very short.
All right. Well, look, if we're going to get into a long reading thing, you know, I'm going to lose my audience, even though it might be brilliant. I know radio well enough to know people don't like to hear listeners read something. Give it to us in a sentence or so. Go ahead, please.
It is the right, it is the duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for future security. I've heard you denigrate the founding fathers, and they were better than us. And the reason they were better than us is
because certainly wasn't approaching 350 million, was it? And what was the ethnic background of the dominant? What was the dominant ethnic background at the time of the founding documents?
Mostly European.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that answer your question? You're dealing with not apples and oranges, but a historical reality versus a current reality. It's two different worlds. The rules may be wonderful and noble and idealized. An ideal, but you cannot use those rules and get any effect today, as witnessed by what we have seen when we've tried to play by the rules with the Republicans. So, in other words, what I'm saying to you is using the rules doesn't work.
Of course not. That's why it is the duty of the citizen to replace this government. In fact,
well, didn't we replace them peacefully last October, last November? Didn't we replace them peacefully? And look what we got. We got the drunk and the gobbler.
The illusion of having a representative government. This is anything but a representative government.
Well, you're preaching not to the choir, but to the master of the choir. I know what you're saying, but I'm coming up with something else, and you're disagreeing with me. I'm saying shut it down. I'm saying the only thing that will stop the influx of immigrants, the only thing that will stop this group of the of self immolating politicians from doing this to us is shutting the government down. And that means forcing the Republicans to do it. They can do it. They have the power to do it. We can force the Republicans to do it. We cannot force the Democrats to do anything. They are beyond the pale. They are all corrupt. They are all anti-American. They all hate themselves and hate the country. And I'm telling you that we have the power with the Republican Party to shut it down. And only by shutting the government down can we stop this insanity of this madman in the White House who wants to bring in 100,000, 200,000, whatever he wants, Syrian men? Why? Why is he doing that? Why is he forbidding Christians from Syria to enter the country? Why is he kicking Syrian asylees out of the country while bringing in Syrian Muslims? Who are these Syrian men? Where did they come from? Why are 80% of these refugees single males? Are they members of ISIS? Is he bringing in an army to overthrow the people? What is he trying to do? So at the same time he's bringing in 100,000, no one knows how many, Syrian males of military age, he's moving to disarm the American population. You want to paint a scary picture, a crazy picture, a conspiratorial picture? Go ahead, I just did. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Is the Savage Nation. I see that the so-called conservative media has turned on Trump completely now, and they're backing Ben Carson. Oh, yeah, Breitbart's suddenly in Carson's camp. They've found the hero they love here. I don't know why they hate Trump. I don't know who at Breitbart is jealous of Trump, but somebody there must be jealous of him because suddenly Carson's their hero. You and I both know that Carson may be a fine man, but you know he's not electable. I'll tell you right now, he is not electable. He's like a second stringer. This guy could be a vice president. He could be the head of HHS. He could not be a president. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. He doesn't have the charisma. And there's a number of reasons he'll never win. And why they're backing him is simple, because they're jealous of Trump. Like most of the people out there who don't like Trump, they're jealous of him. And that's that. Now, what do you want to talk about? Let's see. We got up here Ernest's words. Oh, there's more from this hollow man, Josh Ernst. You got to listen to this. You got to listen to clips 11 and 12 put together. Here is the Goebbels of our time, Josh Ernst, saying things that would be laughable if anyone knew what he was actually talking about. Listen to 11 and 12.
I don't think President Putin is playing chess. He's playing checkers. Mm-hmm. And I say that because he's making a series of tactical decisions
and you know
that
more
are leading
than him.
To a starkly negative strategic conclusion.
You know that.
Which is
Putz, who never shot a BB gun, knows more than Putin.
To ramp up their support for the Assad regime.
Listen to this.
Russia
idiot.
Is being sucked into a sectarian civil war, essentially
a quagmire that
poses a whole set of risks to Russia's interests, not just in the region but back at home. Certainly, making Russia the target of Sunni Muslims.
See,
in
he's
Syria
threatening
and in
Did
Russia,
you catch that?
That are quite
Did you catch
angry
that?
That the Russians have backed up the murderous regime of Bashar al-Assad.
You know, when this is all over, there has to be war crimes trials, and Josh Ernst has to go on the docket like Goebbels, even though Goebbels committed suicide with cyanide. Josh Ernst has to be tried for crimes against humanity for being such a liar. What he just said is astonishing when you think about it. Here's a Putz who never shot a BB gun who's telling Putin that his strategy is wrong. That's number one. Number two, he's threatening Russia by saying Russia's going to become the target of Sunni Muslims in Syria and Russia, which means he and his sorority under the president of the United States will make certain that the Sunni world turns on Russia. They're going to conspire in order to make certain that Russia now has problems with Sunni Muslims both within their own nation and outside their nation. Do you have any idea how deadly this man really is, this little spokesmouth, Josh Ernst? He didn't just give an opinion. He read a script written for him by President Jarrett. I believe President Jarrett just wrote that script. And I believe President Jarrett runs the Muslim Brotherhood. And I believe that the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the government to such an extent that that explains virtually everything that they are doing. Yes, it's President Jarrett who just wrote that script for the spokesmouth, Josh Ernst. Now, most of you don't know who President Jarrett is. She's that demure little lady from Chicago who seems to be in favor of nukes for Iran, seems to be in favor of attacking Russia and creating a new Cold War because Russia does not kowtow to her belief system. She's a good friend of the entire so-called progressive regime of Barack Obama going back at least 25 to 30 years. She's part of a, not Troika, but Seven Sisters. If you study them very carefully, there are seven sisters, seven so-called progressive sisters from Chicago. The first lady is one of them. Valerie Jarrett is another. The others have names. They are the sorority running the world. Barack Obama is the spokesman for the sorority. They are the ones who have blundered. They are the ones who overthrew Gaddafi and unleashed the whirlwind out of Libya. They are the ones who try to overthrow the legitimate government of Egypt and reinstall the Muslim Brotherhood. They are the ones who have put out one message after another against Russia and have condemned Putin and made him into a monster beyond anything you can imagine, simply because he wants to express his own national interests in his sphere of influence, by the way. Yes, that's a real crime to progressives, even so-called conservative progressives, who are really progressives in conservative clothing, who attack Putin saying, why, he's just expanding his national interest. Wouldn't you wish that Obama would do that for us?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Welcome to the show. I know this, I have hypoglycemia. I got to watch my blood sugar very carefully. Nobody has the energy I have in radio. You know that. 3 hours? 3 hours a day? Radio? 21 years? I do it. I do it well. But right now, the top of the head feels like a piece of it should be removed, and Ben Carson should go in and leave a piece of cotton in there. That's, they're trying to smear him now. They left cotton in a child's brain. That's how low they'll go? Nothing about Benghazi. Nothing about the corruption of the Clintons. Nothing about Obama being mentally imbalanced and should be in a nut house. Now that Ben Carson left cotton in a kid's head. This is the press that we have in America. You know something? They wouldn't have gotten away with this in Russia during the Soviet Union era. Izvestia wouldn't have gone to this level of Woodpecker. What's his name? I forget his name. I call him Woodpecker. Jake Tapper, I call Jake Woodpecker. Why? Because he has the brains of a woodpecker that was shot with a BB gun. But he knows how to tie a Windsor knot. Hillary Rotten Clinton says the jail was the right thing for the Kentucky clerk. She's really groping, man, for the lowest level of the American voter. She's going for the abortionists? That's her base, is the abortionists. I mean, this she has to talk about when the Pope himself said it was the wrong thing. Hillary Rotten Clinton today said the jail was the right thing for a Kentucky clerk who refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Who is she appeasing here? Who is she appealing to? Speaking in Iowa? What group was she speaking in front of? The abortion industry of America? Let's see, that would be AIA. Yeah, the AIA, the abortion industry of America. Euthanasiasts of America. This is sickening what she is. This woman is far worse than anybody could imagine. Clinton spoke at Cornell College in Mount Vernon, Iowa. Where is Cornell College in Mount Vernon, Iowa? Who was in the audience? The radical feminist who took it over and introduced Wiccan into the university, tore down the crosses and converted the chapel of the university into a Wiccan haven, Claven? That's who she's speaking to. Clinton said people are entitled to their private beliefs, but that when you take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, that is your job. Oh, really? How about the hidden emails, the 30,000 hidden emails? That isn't in the title of your job? That wasn't your job title? Or how about killing Gaddafi when he begged for his life and said, don't kill me because if I die, you're going to have chaos here? Wasn't that part of your constitutional responsibilities, was to not have him ordered killed? But that's not what I wanted to talk about, even though I just did. The modality in America today is all women are like dogs, just like the men. Hey, I could do anything a man wants to do. I could go sleep around and go out till 4:30 in the morning and wind up in a doorway with my panties in my pocketbook. Hey, I'm free. I'm free. I could do anything I want. This is America, isn't it? Yeah, that in doorway. Dermatologist from Manhasset. 3 children, lovely husband, winds up in a doorway with the head against the door. Unbelievable. Contusions on the neck. And the drug dealer she was with doesn't know how it happened. He pulled her down in the doorway. The NYPD has reached such a point that they don't even arrest the guy who left her in the doorway on a videotape. What in the world is going on? They have a videotape of a guy pulling the dermatologist downstairs after she's coked up, according to the story, leaving her in a doorway. They interview him and they let him go. What is that about? What kind of police work is this? And you want me to worry about the refugees Obama wants to bring into the country? Oh, my God, 200,000 of them. The borders, I say, shut down this government, my friends, until the borders are secure. Just shut them down. You know, the Republicans are such cowards. I mean, what do you expect? You take a look. We know Boehner's. I'm not going to say Boehner and McConnell like it's the first time you heard it. You know who they are. You know exactly who they are. They're sold out, compromised losers. They're bought and sold. They got what they wanted. McConnell negotiated the whole deal last year just for some coal job in Kentucky. He got the coal and suddenly capitulated all the way over to the left side, right? Boehner was never anywhere but where he was supposed to be, which was inside Obama's rear pocket. So when Obama sat down, it sounded like a whoopee cushion coming out of Boehner's mouth. In other words, they put a Boehner doll inside Obama's rear pocket. So every time Obama sat down to give a speech, you heard Boehner squeak, as I say, like a whoopee cushion. So that's the speaker of the other party. Unbelievable to me. But there are people in the Republican Party who could shut this government down. And I say shut her down. Just shut it down. Shut it down. Not a dollar. We control the purse strings. You're not getting a dime. All your departments are shut down. I don't care if the post office doesn't deliver a letter. I don't care if nothing works. We're shutting it down until you shut that border. It's that simple. I am not going to let this psychopath in the White House flood 200,000 Muslims from Syria into this country. End of story. Why is that a bad policy? Tell me what's wrong with my idea of shut it down. I want to know. I mean, I'll tell you about slamming the door shut on the refugees that Obama wants to flood America with. I will tell you about that. I will tell you my plan. Straight out, shut the borders, shut the government down, seal the borders, shut the government down, close it down. Shut it down. Forget about shutting the government down. Shut everything down. Lock it down. I'm not going to tell you that if Obama, the madman, the psycho, gets away with bringing in 200,000 refugees from the Middle East, this country is gone. The man is a madman, a maniac. Nobody wants them here. He only wants them here for the votes and to change the demographics because he hates the, well, how shall I put it? How shall I put who he hates so much that he wants to fundamentally change the demographics of America to the point where they will never return? Nobody can disagree with me. Can anyone listening to this show tell me how 200,000 Syrian refugees, almost all of them Muslims, 80% of them young males, how are they going to enrich this society? Can anyone raise their hand and tell me how? Can you tell me how they're going to enrich the society? And can you also tell me why the psycho in the White House is not bringing in Syrian Christians, including some who are here already begging to be able to stay, allowed to stay here? Tell me why he's kicking the Christians out and bringing the Muslims in. Tell me why he wants more mosques and less churches. Tell me why. You can figure that out? You can't figure out what he's doing to your country? How do you let it happen? But we have trouble in the country. We all know that. But how many times can I say the same thing about the psycho in the White House? The man is an out-of-control psychopath. He knows that most Americans do not want the country flooded with immigrants to begin with. So now he triples down. Not only is he saying we're having more from Central America and Mexico, but now to top it off, he's bringing in 200,000 Muslim men from Syria. What sane country permits this without stopping the man in his tracks? They call him out. They throw him out. They make the Democrat Party stop it before it's too late. Why am I wrong in saying that?
England has just said no to the EU demands that they take in hundreds of thousands of more young Muslim refugees. Why are so many men being brought in to the European nations? And who are the quislings in the EU who want to flood Europe with young Muslim men? Why are they bringing the armies in? They think they'll spare them at the end? Well, you see, the madness of liberalism has almost no bounds. It's a suicidal cult. At the end of the day, liberalism itself is a religion, and it's a suicidal religion. Everywhere you turn, Jerry Brown signing a euthanasia bill and acting as though it's something wholesome and good for the people. We know what it is. It's a death cult. Jerry Brown is leading a death cult here in the state of California, and typically, progressives always hold up their madness as something progressive. And what do we, the people, do as we watch this going on? In the past, you could sort of ignore it. But now when you see the waves upon waves upon waves of mostly young, virile men coming into Europe, and now you see a president trying to do the same thing to America, and there's nobody stopping him. You have a bunch of old, weak, corrupt drunks on the Republican side going to stop him. So he figures, why not do what I want to do? That's why that weekend he went from we'll bring in 10,000 Syrians, Saturday morning it was 100,000, Sunday morning it was 200,000. The man was almost giddy. He was running it up the flagpole, as they used to say many years ago, to see what would happen. And guess what? There was no opposition. The drunk didn't even hear it. He was on a beach chair in Jacksonville. The gobbler didn't hear it. He was busy raising his turkey somewhere in Kentucky. So where is the opposition? Ah, the people, they don't matter. We have no power. When did the people ever have power in a nation? Tell me when the people of a nation ever had power. Stop living in the fantasy world of the colonies. Arabic is fastest growing language in the USA by Julia Hahn of Breitbart. From Breitbart again, Le Pen, Europe's migrant flood equals barbarian invasions of the fourth century. From Fox News, ISIS touts baby boom as key to caliphate's future. Did you know that's what's going on? Did you know that these seventh century throwbacks are raping their way to a population explosion? Did you know that's what they're doing? The black-clad Nazi vermin are raping their way across the Middle East and procreating with the captured brides. Not one word from the American goddesses of feminism. How to raise a jihadi baby. Key feature of ISIS publications. Sister's role in jihad. There's a picture of an infant in a cradle lying next to a pistol and a grenade. And in this country, we have a psychopath in the White House who wants to take away your right to bear arms. Let me tell you something. There was an actor a long time ago who said, "You'll have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands." That should be your motto. Never give up your weapon. Never give up your weapon to one of the Nazis in this government. Never! It's the only reason that ISIS will never take over this country. It's because of an armed civilian population. It's the reason they've been able to rampage across Europe, because the French have been disarmed. The British have been disarmed. The people are afraid of them. But they won't be afraid. They won't be afraid much longer. They won't be afraid much longer, because the revolution is brewing in Europe. Unfortunately for them, they have no way to defend themselves other than with their fists and their brains. And that is because the Obamas of Europe have stolen their guns a long time ago, as they have in Australia, by the way. When a nation takes its masculine pride and attempts to deball it at every turn by drugging it, by debasing it, by inhibiting it, tell me how that nation can survive. No nation in history has ever done to itself what this nation is doing to itself right now. There's no one who can disagree with me. If they do, they're mentally insane. When you see article after article telling people who are white to be ashamed of their race by people who claim not to be racist, if that's not insanity, tell me what is. When you see radical, sick feminists attacking boys and saying large muscles is a sign of aggression, tell me if that's not mental illness. Tell me what is going to be required to save this nation from its own self-destruction. This is a nation that is in the deep throes of an illness. It'd be too easy to call it a mental illness, which I've done in 2005 or 6 with liberalism as a mental disorder. I've redefined the illness America is suffering from as an autoimmune disease. America is suffering the equivalent of political AIDS. It is an autoimmune disease where a retrovirus has invaded the country and has encrypted itself into the DNA of the nation, has replicated itself, and is destroying the nation from within. They're called the Democrat Socialist Party. That is the virus that has invaded this country, that is destroying the nation from within. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Okay, here's a little news story. Report finds female Marines cannot meet some standards for special forces. Now, if you had a commander-in-chief who really cared about the military, he would look at this report and say, all right, some of the women are really brave, they're strong, but they can't cut it in special forces. We're not going to destroy those units because we cannot impose this upon them without lowering the standards and raising the risk of men dying. But not your president. Your psycho in the White House will push this psycho agenda that you will find on a college campus right down to the last drop of his regime. And then some, by the way. A new study says that even the top female troops cannot cut it in the special forces. Let me ask you a little side note. Putin just sent his Spetsnaz into Syria to kill, not to negotiate, not to bring him back to justice to New York City, or Moscow in that case, but to find the enemy and kill them. I noticed something when I'm studying the Russian special forces. There are no women in the special forces in Russia. Somehow Putin hasn't been forced to kowtow to the feminists in Russia. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd what's going on in your country? That's a new study, though. Even striking what appears to be a balance for setting standards, meaning changing standards, will introduce some level of risk across all of these factors, the report by Brigadier General George Smith. Now, having said that, we all know that there are women who are 10 times tougher than many men. We know that. But that's not the point. We're talking about elite combat units like special forces. And we are talking about environments that none of us can even imagine that men have to fight in. We are talking about stresses on the human body that are something the ordinary human being could never take. And to bring females into this, you will find that all the studies show that they put everybody at risk. And the study says winning in war is often only a matter of inches. And unnecessary distraction or any dilution of the combat effectiveness puts the mission and lives in jeopardy, that report stated. Risking the lives of a military unit in combat to provide career opportunities or accommodate the personal desires or interests of an individual is more than bad military judgment. It is morally wrong. You hear this? Now, however, U.S. Navy Secretary the Stooge, Ray Mabus, another schmuck put in by Obama, says to NPR, of all places, that studies showing women cannot keep up with men in certain areas could be flawed. This is who Obama handpicked. These sellout punks, these metrosexual losers, this is who he puts in charge of every military branch. And you're wondering why we cannot defeat ISIS after a year of fighting them with our most powerful air force in the world? Obama was not fighting them. He was playing with you. By the way, Israel, which has long integrated women into its military, has reached the same conclusions regarding the most elite units, according to Lieutenant Colonel Yuval Heled. He said, quote, and listen carefully, idiots, women in Israel and the U.S. do very good field operations, but I would say that in the front line with the potential of engaging in close combat, I would still recommend leaving things as they are. No kidding. No kidding. In hand-to-hand combat with ISIS, you mean men do better? How is that possible? Hand-to-hand combat with ISIS, you mean a big, brawny American special forces guy is more suitable than a woman who was put there for affirmative action reasons? I'm shocked. I never would have figured that out. See, they think everything's a college campus, where if things go wrong in the battlefield, the women can blow a whistle and call the ACLU. Well, the real world doesn't work that way, which is why America is dying, incidentally. Well, you know my position on this. Look how I'm going to end the hour. Listen to this headline. Nurse giving workplace flu shots reuse syringes. That's very encouraging. West Windsor, New Jersey. A nurse administering flu shots to dozens of employees of a pharmaceutical company reuse syringes, the State Department of Health said Wednesday. Now, a State Department of Health in New Jersey is not an oxymoron. It's a laugh line for Seinfeld. Then they go further. There's a low risk of infection. How can it be a low risk of infection if they use the same needle over and over again on people? What? To me, it's a high risk of infection. But we have such a corrupt CDC, they're nowhere to be found.
Savage.